Talking today with Phil Tsang of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. 2014, I think Randy Block over at Cattle Facts said it was a perfect storm, and a big element of that, big part of that storm was the international market for U.S. beef.
Yeah, I think that we performed very well as an industry in 2014. The numbers just came in an hour ago. We did about $7.1 billion in U.S. beef exports internationally. That was up 16% over last year. And if you take a look at our numbers for the volume side of it, we were up about 3% at about $2.1 billion, so, or 2.1 million metric tons. So the numbers are very, very exciting. And when you look at some of the markets, our traditional markets that we look at, you know, Japan, frankly, was up 14%. Hong Kong was up 40%. Korea, 15%. Taiwan, 15%. Mexico, 26%. So, you know, a lot of the hard work and the checkoff dollars that have gone into these markets to develop in these markets are really paying off right now. And this is very important at a time when prices have been traditionally high. You know, the dollar has become stronger, but yet our valued customers in these markets are still staying very loyal to our product. That's very exciting.
What you mentioned the rising dollar. When does that start having an impact, you think?
Well, I think the dollar is already having an impact. But, like, for example, if you look at Japan, they know how to they've dealt with exchange rates. They deal with this all the time. They know how to hedge. They know how to do all these types of things. So I think that from the standpoint of the dollar, it's always more difficult when our product becomes more dear. And right now, with probably this past year, we went through the real high cycle, if you will. I think that's an impact, but frankly, they're adjusting in Japan. We've seen the diet change to some degree. We're seeing the nature of the food service industry change. So still, when we take a look at the beef industry in Japan, for example, it's still increasing. Imports are increasing into Japan, both on the beef and the pork side. So if you take a look at this, even though they talk about recession, they talk about all these things that could work against you, if you look at the things that are positive, there's still a lot of positive developments going on in that market. There's growth in the food service sector. There's growth in sectors of the market that I think are very exciting, for especially where U.S. beef is involved.
Now, regarding Japan, you know, we finally saw that movement a little over a year ago now, where they did go to the 30-month standard. Has that effectively opened up pretty well everything we wanted in that market?
Well, yeah, because with Japan going over a year ago to the 30-month, what that allowed for was about 92% of our cattle that we produced to be eligible for the Japanese market. Prior to that, it was much less than that. It was like in the low 30% range. So this really allowed us to really help increase our exports into that market, going from 20 months to 30 months. That was huge as far as the industry is concerned. And we really capitalized on it very, very well. Japan is our number one export destination now for beef, both from a value and a volume standpoint.
I know that several state beef councils have stepped up and helped with specific projects. Oklahoma Beef Council, of course, one of those groups. How has that helped do what you want to accomplish in countries like Japan?
Well, number one is it's the timing couldn't be better for this, and we really encourage the beef councils to continue to take a look at these markets. And one of the things that's gone on is our price is appreciated. The people want to know more about our product. We have to tend more toward branded. There's more speciality in the market. People want to know the story behind our product. And it's much harder to tell the whole U.S. beef story than it is if you're from Oklahoma or Texas or Iowa or Kansas or whatever. You can get much more personal. You can take where they look at our agriculture as being so big, so mechanized, if you will, industrialized, and you bring it back down to the human element, you know. And I think this has really been very successful for us as we communicate. So the more these states are able to go to these markets, communicate about their basic values. We've been talking about the soil, you know, the seed, the sun, the commitment, all these types of things. As you look at this is very appealing to buyers overseas, because if you're overseas, whether it's in Europe or whether it's in Asia, There's a tremendous amount of information in the world today, and a lot of it's about bird flu. It's about all these disease issues. There's all kinds of things that the consumers are pelted with, if you will. And the more a state can talk about how we personally put our commitment into this, our sweat equity into this, and all these types of things, this resonates with our buyers internationally.
One thing that's a concern right now, I know, is this West Coast stoppage of shipments. How worried are you about that? How much damage has been done?
Well, I was just in Japan 10 days ago, and every meeting that I had, this was brought up as a major issue. It calls into question the reliability of the United States as a supplier. Most of these markets in Asia, especially where this is being affected because it's from the West Coast, they are net importers. They don't produce enough of their own beef and pork to sustain, you know, their population when it comes to protein. So they're very dependent upon the United States. They're dependent upon Canada, etc. And so what's happened is, as you have this prolonged slowdown, this prolonged dispute, 50% of what we export, both from the beef and the pork side, is chilled. And that's something we've worked on, because the margin on chilled could be anywhere from 20 to 30%, depending on the item. And so that's where the real margins and the value come in, and this export side. Well, that's what's most threatened, because if you have a 45-day shelf life, for example, from the time that product is sent from the plant to time it arrives in Japan, and to the market, and if a lot of this is being held up because of the strike, they might have 3 or 4 days on pork. With beef, they get 62 days on our product, so it's almost 3 weeks longer. So there's still more beef flowing as a result of this, because it's not as impacted. But pork is basically almost stopped as far as any chilled items, and beef has become much more difficult. So what that does is, if they can't get the product, they're forced to go to our competitors. And this is where the reliability comes in. And our competitors, of course, they gobble this up. They basically talk about how we are unreliable. So all the good work that we're doing, you know, it makes it much, much more difficult. So we sure hope that there could be a resolution to this thing here very, very soon.
Looking ahead, it was interesting. One of the slides that the Cattle Facts folks had today talked about the value per head back to the U.S. producer, obviously north of $300 now. And suggestion is that we could see this thing continue to trend upward, and that someday here, one of these years down the road, $500 a head. Is that something that you kind of agree with, that concept?
I very much do. I think that we're on the just on the next, going to the next plateau as far as the export side. You know, there's only so many countries that can produce, you know, have the forage base, if you will, to sustain large cow herds. We're one of them, thankfully. And when we see, for example, in Asia, that 65% of the world's middle class, 65% in Asia in the year 2020 will be in Asia, this is very exciting for us. So we're going to see, as these Asians continue to go up the food chain, move from the cereals to the proteins, we're going to continue to see this growing and growing demand. And to me, it's a very, very exciting place to be right now as the international marketplace, because obviously it's going to get better. They're going to become more severe as far as their specifications and what they want and what they want in the product, how it's produced. But if we can meet these ever-changing needs, it's going to be a huge opportunity for the U.S. industry.
So that concept of that middle-class consumer overseas, that's still, beef is still priced in a range where it works with that middle class.
I mean, I was just in Japan a week ago, and my observation was, right now there's a steak boom going on in Japan, really a steak boom. There's new restaurants. The restaurants are full. I mean, U.S. beef is on the menu. The Japanese beef is on the menu. I mean, it's really very positive. It's very, very encouraging. This is happening all around Asia, whether you go to Korea, whether you go to Taiwan. Taiwan right now might be the dry-aged capital for U.S. beef, and that's a very expensive item. So even though we have these high duties in these places, to spend money on good things, that's kind of an Asian trait. And so we want to tie in with that trait and amplify it for our beef industry.
Looking ahead, one last question. 2015, what's your game plan for 2015?
Well, I think 2015, I think one of the key things we have to do is at least try to maintain our market share. This port strike could affect us here for the first quarter, but we don't see this going on beyond the first quarter. There's got to be some resolution to this. As we get into the middle of the year here, I see demand going up very dramatically in these markets. I think one of the bogeys out there would be this whole agreement that the Australians have with the Japanese. We have a similar agreement basically with Korea. But starting in January of this year, you know, the duty on Australian product went down 8% on frozen, 6% on chilled. In April, it goes down another percent each way. So the longer we are now out of not dealing, for example, on TPP, the Aussies are going to have a huge advantage. We also have a 15% appreciation of the dollar. So you take their duty advantage plus the dollar, they become much more competitive. Luckily, they don't have the cattle available right now in Australia because of the drought and other weather conditions. But we need to get this deal done so we can get competitive again. So that's going to be really key for us.
So TPP is something that you really are looking forward to.
Yeah, I think that it's very exciting. I mean, this is something that the U.S. went into. It's 12 countries, 40% of the world's trade. I mean, it's very exciting to get into TPP. So we look forward to it.
Very good. Thank you.